We are grateful for each one who's here. We're thankful for the blessings that we have from God and the hope we have in this new year of being to continue to serve Him and take advantage of opportunities He presents us with and to seek to be all that we can be for Him each and every day. God has put us to a work and a mission, given us a work and mission in this life. But He also shows us throughout Scripture that for good and righteous people, for God-fearing people still, there's unexpected things that will happen, things that can take us by surprise, things that seem inconsistent with the fact that God is all-powerful, in control, He loves us, He's our Father, so we might wonder at sometimes, why is this happening? Why am I suffering? Why is my family suffering? Or something like that. And this was certainly the case as we read in the book of Job. After all of the loss and the suffering that was inflicted upon Job by Satan, remember it was by Satan, Job began to speak his grief. Job couldn't see, he couldn't see the attacks on him by Satan like we can when we sit down and we read the book. He couldn't see all of that. And so being a man who walked with God, you see the very first verse in that book tells us how he lived. He knew he was upright. He knew he was faithfully serving God. He was doing all of that. He just didn't understand why all of this suffering was happening. And so his conclusion was, God must be the one who has lifted up his hand against me. That was what he came to the conclusion in regard to. You look at chapter 1 there, verses 20 and 21. Then Job arose, tore his robe, and shaved his head, and he fell to the ground and worshipped. And he said, naked I came from my mother's womb, and naked shall I return there. Notice what he says. The Lord gave, and the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. So this is right after all of the afflictions that he's gone through. The Lord gave, the Lord has taken away. Well, no, it really wasn't the Lord who did all that. It was Satan. But this was his perception. And you notice numerous times in the book of Job what he says as he reflects upon what he continues to suffer with. In chapter 6, verse 4, he said, for the arrows of the Almighty are within me, and my spirit drinks their poison. The terrors of God are raised against me. So he feels as if God is shooting him repeatedly, and now he's suffering all this affliction because of God. Chapter 9, verse 17, verse 18, for he crushes me with a tempest and multiplies my wounds without cause. He will not allow me to catch my breath, but fills me with bitterness. So Job is very grieved, and you see a man here, again, this is on the all the perspective that he has, the best he can reason it through. God is doing this to me. I can't even catch my breath, and some suffering comes again, and it's just ongoing. He's weary. He's discouraged. In chapter 10, verse 8, he says, your hands have made me and fashioned me an intricate unity, yet you would destroy me. He says to God. It doesn't make sense to him. You have fashioned me. I am, as a human being, an amazing piece of design that God has brought into existence. Job can see evidence for design. Look at what God has done. He's made me. And yet he says, here you are. You're going to destroy me. In verse six, in chapter 16, verse 12, beginning, he says, I was at ease, but he has shattered me. He has also taken me by my neck and shaken me to pieces. He has set me up for his target. His archers surround me. He pierces my heart and does not pity. He pours out my gall on the ground. He breaks me with wound upon wound. He runs at me like a warrior. So again, Job in his mind feels that this is God's doing. God is afflicting me. God is hurting me. God has turned against me. He says, who among all these does not know that the hand of the Lord has done this? In whose hand is the life of every living thing and the breath of all mankind? Job 12, verses 9 and 10. But despite the fact that Job perceives, he feels God has done this, even though that's his false conclusion, even though he's wrong in that, still, it's remarkable his mindset toward God in terms of he still doesn't hate God and say, I reject you now. He doesn't go along with the idea, curse God and die, not at all. But as you'll notice, what he says in chapter 13, verse 15, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. Even so, I will defend my own ways before him. So, again, this is Job's attempt to figure things out. He feels God is got his sword against me. He's going to slay me. But still, he says, I'm going to be faithful to him. I am going to, though, defend my ways. I'm going to plead with him. I'm going to make my case before him. What have I done? You know, obviously, Job would not attempt to argue that he had never sinned, but he was one who was faithful to God. And whenever a faithful servant of God lives his life in this world, he's going to at times sin. And how do you deal with that? You go to God. You seek forgiveness in the means that he has made possible. During this time, they would make sacrifices and atonement for their sins. But he still was devoted to God. He didn't understand. Later on, then, God would reveal himself to Job in this whirlwind, and God rebukes Job. Job is humbled. Job acknowledges in chapter 42, verse 3, he says, you asked, who is this who hides counsel without knowledge? Therefore, I have uttered what I did not understand, things too wonderful for me, which I did not know. Job realizes there's so much. And even as he speaks these words, he does not have the complete full picture. Perhaps God would reveal it to him. Perhaps these things would be made known to him. But Job, seeing the greatness and sovereignty of God, he acknowledged there in verse 6, same chapter, 42, he says, therefore, I abhor myself and repent in dust and ashes. So he repents of what? Of wrongly attributing all that he was going through to the hand of God without any cause whatsoever, harming him, afflicting him, doing all these things to him. What we do know is this, is that God allows, he allows his people to go through hardship. He allows even Satan to afflict his people. It's for the purpose of testing and trying. It's for the purpose of purification. The example is given to us by Peter of gold passed through the fire that comes forth purified. Purified and of great value. And that's the picture that God wants us to have of what he accomplishes through what he allows us to suffer. And that is afflictions, hardships, whatever we might go through. He says, this is intended for your good. This can be used by God's people to become stronger, to become better able to endure whatever remains left in life, because we know that those who trust in God and do not forsake him will in the end, without a doubt, be rewarded by him and granted eternal life. Job, we see a beautiful picture at the end of the book, and that is that God restored to him. He blessed him once again with children, with the basics that he needed in life, and so much more beyond that. He was enriched again. God showed that his favor is upon his faithful. We may in this life suffer hardships, but what we know is that there's a heaven waiting. There's a mansion, as we sometimes sing, awaiting for us. And those blessings are absolutely certain to come. What we have to do, though, is understand what Job later learned, that God is always for us, and we can always depend on him. We can always trust in him. He is there to see us through the trials, not try to hurt us in our trials, but strengthen us through our trials. And thus we remember and etch upon our hearts Proverbs 3, verses 5 and 6, trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean upon your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will direct your paths. Tonight, if you're not yet a child of God, we would ask you to think about beginning the most wonderful life that a person can live, the life of one saved by the blood of Jesus Christ, added by God to the greatest family in the world, and then able to live with hope, understanding that though life's hardships keep coming, there is an end to it all, promised to us one day. There is the reality that the Savior will appear one day in the heavens, and that we will all be caught up to be with Him forevermore, that we will receive on judgment the crown of eternal life that God has promised. You can have that assurity, that certainty, if you will believe in Christ and turn from your sins, confess your faith in Jesus, be baptized for the remission of your sins, and then live that life of dedication. It may be tonight you're already a child of God, but where do you stand before Him? Are you faithful, devoted? Are you fulfilling His will? If you need to come back home, we can help you tonight as we stand and as we sing.